Chapter 6. Saturday was a cold and rainy day. "This is not a good day to plant bulbs," Aunt Martha said. "We'll make the butternut fudge this afternoon instead and be free to do our planning on Monday. While the fudge is cooking, we'll finish reading Mary's Meadow." Nancy and Elsa found plenty to do in the morning. They washed the dishes, made their bed, and wrote the rest of their letters. They put on their coats and hats and rubbers, borrowed Uncle Sven's big umbrella, and walked down to the mailbox. When they got back, they brought down to the kitchen the cardboard and pieces of cloth Aunt Martha had found for them and began to make the furniture for the suitcase houses on Sweet Grass Lane. About 11 o'clock, the front doorbell rang. This was very unusual. Hardly anyone used the front door of the farmhouse. People almost always came up the driveway to the side piazza. "Who in the world can that be?" said Aunt Martha. She went into the front hall, and the girls, full of curiosity, followed her. Aunt Martha opened the door. There on the step sat a drenched and bedraggled-looking little cat. "Cuckoo clock," said Aunt Martha. "Could she ring the doorbell?" said Nancy. They looked up and down the road. There was no one else in sight. "I suppose she could have," said Aunt Martha, "but I never before heard of a cat who rang doorbells." The bell on the farmhouse door was an old-fashioned one. It looked like a little handle. When you turned this handle, it made the bell ring. "I suppose if she wanted to get in," said Aunt Martha, "she might clamber up on the door and turn the handle by accident. It turns easily." "I think she did it on purpose," said Elsa. Cuckoo Clock had run into the house while they were talking and was now lapping milk from her saucer near the kitchen stove. The children were so eager to tell Uncle Sven what a remarkable cat she was that they stood watching for him at the kitchen window until he came in to dinner. "Cuckoo Clock rang the doorbell," said Elsa. Uncle Sven was as much surprised as they had been, but when he had thought about the matter a little while, he said, "I suppose you could teach a cat to ring the bell." "How?" asked the girls. "You could tie a little something she likes to eat onto the bell and let her smell it. She'd climb up to get it all right. Then one of you could open the door from the inside. If you did it a few times, she might realize that touching the handle of the bell had something to do with the door opening for her. I don't know if it would work, but you could try it. That is, if Martha doesn't mind bothering with a cat who won't use the side door." Aunt Martha laughed. "I wouldn't mind," she said. "It would be quite a distinction to have a cat who rang the front doorbell. I guess if sometime it wasn't convenient for me to go to the front door, she'd come around the side way fast enough if she really wanted to get in." The girls decided they would begin that afternoon to teach Cuckoo Clock this trick. "She went out to the barn as soon as she'd finished drinking her milk," said Aunt Martha. "Lately she seems to like to curl up in the hay when she wants a nap. If it's not too wet when she comes in again, you can begin to teach her. If it's still raining, you'd better wait till tomorrow." They had not even finished their dessert before they learned that Cuckoo Clock did not need any teachers. The front doorbell rang again. Nancy and Elsa hurried to the door. There sat Cuckoo Clock waiting to get in. Nobody would ever know why she had suddenly decided to use this door. Neither could anybody tell whether she realized that it was the sound of the bell that made people come to let her in. Perhaps she just used the little handle as something to get hold of when she wanted to scramble up on the door to attract attention. "It surely is lucky," Elsa told her, "that we gave you such an unusual name. You are a very unusual cat." When dinner was over and the dishes were done, Aunt Martha got out her biggest iron kettle and poured in the heavy cream and maple syrup. It was a good thing that Uncle Sven's cows gave rich milk, and that there were plenty of butternut and maple trees on the farm. She could not have afforded to make the fudge if she had had to buy all the material for it in the stores. "It looks like an awful lot," said Nancy. "It's not so much as I wish we could make," said Aunt Martha. "I want to send some back to Chicago with Uncle George and Aunt Hannah. And of course, you and Elsa must have some to take home. And I want to give some to Alex and his mother, and to Wanda's family, and John August. And I thought maybe you'd like to send a little box of it to your father, Nancy. I'm afraid your mother can't have any in the hospital. I'll make some for her when she's well again. Anyway, you see, even as big a kettle as this won't hold too much." especially since it's the best fudge in the world," said Elsa. Aunt Martha took Mary's Meadow from the shelf and sat down in the rocking chair by the stove. Cicely Ann Sinkspout jumped into her lap and settled herself comfortably. Nancy and Elsa sat by the kitchen table. They planned to work on their furniture while Aunt Martha read, but they soon put down their scissors and paste. They forgot all about Sweet Grass Lane and the suitcase houses. They didn't even notice that the rain had stopped and the sun came out. Their thoughts were all with the children in Mary's Meadow. From time to time, Aunt Martha picked up her long wooden spoon and stirred the fudge, but she sat back in her chair again immediately and hardly interrupted her reading. When at last she finished the story, Nancy sighed. "That's the best, best book I ever read," she said. "And wouldn't it be a good thing for a club to do?" said Elsa. "It would be better than anything," said Nancy. "It would be fun," said Aunt Martha. There was a knock at the door. "Good gracious," said Aunt Martha. "Has Cuckoo Clock learned how to knock, too?" This time it was not Cuckoo Clock. It was Anton, one of Wanda's older brothers, with a plate covered with a napkin. He handed the plate to Aunt Martha. "My mother sent it over," he said. "It's a kind of Polish cake. She made it and thought you and the girls might like a little this afternoon. Wanda had to go to the schoolhouse to practice for the play." Nancy and Elsa looked at the cake with interest. "It looks wonderful," said Elsa. "Your mother is very kind," said Aunt Martha. "We'll have it for a treat as soon as the fudge is done, and that will be in a few minutes. Would you like to stay long enough, Anton, to be one of the kettle scrapers? I'll leave enough in the kettle so you can all three have a taste." "Yes, I would," said Anton. "I'll go up and get your mail while I'm waiting. The flag is up." They had been so much interested in Mary's Meadow that they had even forgotten the mail. Anton brought back letters for Nancy and Elsa and Sigrid. Elsa read hers aloud. "The first night I was homesick. I cried, but now I'm having fun. Tomorrow I'm going to a club meeting of girls in Grandmother's church. It's a sewing club. They are making things for a Thanksgiving fair. I wish the Crimson Rambler Club could have a fair. We went to see Aunt Hannah's daughter. She has three boys and no girls. They have bicycles. Johnny let me ride on his handlebars. Love, Sigrid." "My goodness, they must be rich," said Elsa. "Three children in the family and still money enough for each one to have a bicycle?" Nancy's letter said, "Have you found out any more about the little silver house? You would like my grandmother Carlson's house. Her sitting room is like a garden. I counted the plants in it. She has 47. 20 are in blossom. I help water them. I'm making an apron for the fair the girls' sewing club is having. Grandmother gave me the cloth. It is red and white. The apron will be for a little girl. Love, Sigrid." "I'd like to see Grandmother Carlson's house," said Nancy. "When I grow up and have a house of my own, I'll have a sitting room that's like a garden. Sigrid writes good letters." "Yes, she does," said Aunt Martha. "She has told us interesting things." Now the fudge was ready for the butternuts. Aunt Martha put them in, and Anton helped her to beat it. It was heavy work to beat so much fudge. After it had been poured into pans to cool, the three children scraped the kettle. "It is the best fudge in the world," said Nancy. "You were right, Elsa." While they were eating their Polish cake, they told Anton about Cuckoo Clock. He was surprised, too. Everybody was surprised to hear about a cat who could ring a doorbell. "She'd make a good Halloween cat," said Anton. After supper, while Nancy and Elsa sat reading by the fire, Nancy jumped up suddenly. "I've just had the most wonderful idea," she said. "Let's go tell Aunt Martha." With Elsa following her, she dashed off to the kitchen. "Aunt Martha," she said, "would there be time to send for more bulbs?" "More bulbs?" asked Aunt Martha, puzzled. "We don't need any more bulbs." "I have 25 cents here," said Nancy, "and a little money in my pig bank. If I could use it all to buy some bulbs, could we plant them in the garden of the little silver house?" "Oh, Nancy," said Elsa, "how wonderful! I've got 25 cents too, and maybe Mama would let me open my bank. Aunt Martha, wouldn't it be exciting to plant bulbs in the little house garden and have them come up in the spring? Everybody'd be so surprised." It would make it a kind of secret garden, said Nancy. Aunt Martha, please. Aunt Martha looked troubled. It isn't our garden, children, she said. We can't go planting things in other people's gardens. But, Aunt Martha, said Elsa, it isn't a bit like taking something from a garden. It would be giving it something to make it more beautiful. That can't be wrong. Oh, dear, said Aunt Martha. I wish I could say that it would be all right to do it, but I can't. I hate to disappoint you because it was a good idea, Nancy, and it would have been fun. To her surprise and Elsa's, Nancy didn't look disappointed at all. Never mind, she said. I know what we can do. We can plant the bulbs by the roadside near the little silver house, not in the garden, but by the roadside the way the children do in Mary's Meadow, for a surprise. For traveler's joy, said Elsa. Of course. Nobody would care if we planted them by the roadside. Aunt Martha did not answer at once, but presently she smiled. No, she said, I don't think it would do any harm to put in a few surprise bulbs by the roadside. If anybody comes along and sees us doing it, they'll wonder what's the matter with us, but never mind that. We'll do it. May we write for the bulbs this very night? Asked Elsa. But what if they don't get here in time? I'm afraid they wouldn't, said Aunt Martha. But I know what we can do. I sent for 10 dozen. That's 120 bulbs. No wonder I feel extravagant. She stopped suddenly and looked at the children, so eager to do something for the little house. I tell you, she went on, I'll sell you each 25 cents worth of bulbs, and we'll plant them someday next week. How will that be? Oh, Aunt Martha, said Nancy, you're so good. You should have the same name as Mary, said Elsa. You should be called Traveler's Joy. May we get our 25 cents and buy the bulbs tonight? Asked Nancy. That will be 5 bulbs for each of us, won't it? Well, said Aunt Martha, since it's for the little silver house, I'll give you a bargain price. We'll keep 100 bulbs here for the farm and plant 20 for Traveler's Joy. It's lucky we all went on trips this week, said Elsa. So Papa gave us each 25 cents to spend. I never got 25 whole cents all at once before in my life. They certainly came in handy. Monday was another clear blue day. This is good planning weather, said Aunt Martha. Who knows what it will be tomorrow? We'll plant the bulbs here at the farm this morning and go to the little house this afternoon. The washing can wait until Tuesday for once. In topsy-turvy weeks like this, said Nancy, you ought not to do the washing on the right day anyway. You ought to be really topsy-turvy, said Elsa, and iron your clothes first and wash them afterward. No, thank you, said Aunt Martha. We're acting quite topsy-turvy enough as it is. Perhaps that's why Cuckoo Clock went to the front door and rang the doorbell, said Elsa. She knew it would be a topsy-turvy kind of thing for a cat to do. It was fun to help plant the bulb garden at the farm in the morning and to cover it with a blanket of leaves to keep it warm until the snow came. But the girls knew that the afternoon would be much more exciting, and they were fairly brimming over with happiness when they set out. At last it seemed to them that they were really going to do something for the little silver house. They found that frost had killed the golden glow flowers, and the maple tree had lost most of its leaves. The little house looked sad and lonely. It will be so cold this winter, said Nancy, without any fires in it. And at Christmas, said Elsa, it won't have any tree or any candles in the windows. Poor little house. It is sad, said Aunt Martha, but it won't help to stand and worry about it. We must do our planting, and who knows, maybe we can think of something else to do another time. Come along. It was easy to plant bulbs in the soil of Aunt Martha's garden. It was more difficult to do it here by the side of the road where the ground was hard. Aunt Martha had brought a sharp trowel, but it took a long time to dig the holes anyway. They didn't mind, though, because they knew how surprised people were going to be the next spring when they came along the road and suddenly saw purple hyacinths and yellow daffodils and a few bright tulips where they never would have expected such flowers to grow. They were working so hard that they did not notice the boy coming down the road until he was standing beside them. Elsa saw him first. Hi, she said. Are you the boy Nancy saw? This is my Aunt Martha, And I'm Elsa Carlson, and this is Nancy Bruce. What's your name?
Ben Emmons, said the boy. What are you doing here?
Aunt Martha looked at Ben and saw at once how unhappy he was. She made a quick decision.
You'll never guess, Ben, she said. And turning to the girl, she added, I think since Ben has come and caught us, we'd better tell him our secret, don't you?
Her eyes said more than that to Nancy and Elsa, and they nodded. So Aunt Martha told Ben a little about the story of Mary's Meadow and why they had come to plant the flowers near the little house.
Do you think it's a good idea? She asked.
I guess so, said Ben, but I don't think anything is good in the country. I hate it.
You hate the country? Said Nancy. But how can you?
Because there's nothing to do, said Ben, and in the city there's always something going on.
We must finish our planning, said Aunt Martha, and then we'll have a little party. I brought some gingerbread because I knew we'd be hungry after working so hard. There's plenty for you, too, Ben, and while we're eating, perhaps you'll tell us a little about the city. Nancy is the only one of us who knows anything about it. Elsa and I have never seen a big city. But first, we must get on with our work.
I could help dig, said Ben.
Good, answered Aunt Martha, and handed him the trowel.
Elsa and Nancy wanted to know all about Ben, especially how he happened to be at the little silver house.
Because there isn't any other place to go, said Ben. I've just come to live with the Taylors down the road.
Is Mr. Taylor the caretaker of this house? Asked Nancy.
Yes.
Are they your uncle and aunt or something? Asked Elsa. Or how did you happen to come live with them?
I lived with my grandmother, Ben answered. She is old and she isn't able to work any longer, and so she had to go to an old people's home. I know I could have worked to take care of her, but they wouldn't let me. They said I had to go to school. My grandmother knows some people who know the Taylors and knew they wanted a boy to come live with them to help with the work, and so they sent me here. I want to earn some money as soon as I can so I can go back to the city and take care of my grandmother.
Are the Taylors cruel to you? Asked Elsa sympathetically.
Oh, no, they're all right. There just isn't anything to do.
I thought you were going to help them, said Nancy.
They think I need to get strong first, said Ben. They don't think I look well, but really I'm awfully strong. They say to stay outdoors and play until school opens again. They said it closed because of a fire. They say every day to go out and play, and there isn't anything to do.
You must be going to the town school, said Nancy. How are you going to get there?
Mr. Taylor works in town. He takes care of people's yards and gardens and furnaces, and I'm going to ride with him.
I know how you feel, said Nancy. Last April, my mother had to go to the hospital. That's why I'm staying at the Bensons. At first, I was terribly lonesome, but now I love the country, much more than the city, and I think you will, too, as soon as you get used to it.
And now you've got some friends, said Elsa. You'll be going to the same school I do, and I'll look for you the day it opens.
And you must come to visit us at the farm some day, said Aunt Martha, and get acquainted with all the animals.
And to see us in town, too, said Elsa, and get to know Alex.
Ben seemed so bewildered by all these plans that were being made for him that Aunt Martha said, Girls, we must stop talking now or we'll never finish our planting. Not another word from any of us until the work is done. When the last bulb had been put into the ground and covered with earth and leaves, Aunt Martha went to the buggy and took out a can of water and some old towels.
Let's see if we can get our hands reasonably clean before we have our gingerbread, she said.
Where shall we sit for our picnic? Asked Nancy.
I think we'd better stand up, said Aunt Martha. There's not a good place here for a sitting down picnic.
If it would be all right to spread that big blanket in the wagon down on the ground, then we could sit in the yard, said Ben.
I don't believe we'd better do that, Ben, said Aunt Martha. It's not our yard, you know.
Mr. Taylor said I could play in the yard in the woods as long as I didn't destroy anything, said Ben. He wouldn't care if we sat on the ground.
Please, Aunt Martha, said Elsa.
Well, since Ben is sure it's all right, we'll do that this one time, said Aunt Martha.
She and Ben spread the horse blanket on the ground, and they all sat down near the wall with the woodbine on it.
Almost as if we lived here, said Nancy.
The gingerbread was in a round pan. It's much easier, said Aunt Martha, to cut a pie-shaped gingerbread into 4 equal pieces than into 3, so it's lucky you came, Ben. As they ate, Ben told about the city, about the trains that run under the ground and the parades and band concerts, about the hurdy-gurdies and the pushcarts where flowers and vegetables are sold. He told about the tall buildings and the ships in the harbor and the people. There's about 1 million kids on my block, he said, and there's always something going on, day and night. You can go out at midnight even, and there are people. It's never quiet and lonesome the way it is here. It was plain that he loved everything about the city. No wonder you miss it, said Elsa, but you'll like it here when you get used to it. You wait and see. There's an awful lot of things going on around here, too, only they don't show so much. Oh, look, said Nancy. There's Sir Silvertail again.
Sir who? Asked Ben, as they turned to look at the little gray squirrel.
Oh, you mean Buster.
Buster, said Nancy. His name isn't Buster.
How do you know? Asked Ben. That's what I call him, anyway. Hi, Buster.
Have you tried to feed him? Asked Aunt Martha.
Yes, said Ben, but he's not very tame. He'll almost come, but not quite. I think he will when he gets to know me a little better.
Well, he's one interesting thing about the country, said Elsa.
Him? Said Ben. Oh, he's all right, but you don't have to come to the country to see squirrels. There's millions of them in the parks, and pigeons, too.
There seemed to be nothing they could say to make Ben think he might someday like the country.
I'm going back to the city as soon as I can earn the money, he said.
But first, you must come to the farm someday if you'd like to, said Aunt Martha.
Shall I go ask Mrs. Taylor if she'd be willing?
She's not home this afternoon. She's gone to see somebody that's sick, said Ben.
We'll arrange it another time then, and soon, said Aunt Martha. And now, girls, we really must go. Thank you for your help, Ben.
I'll look for you at school, said Elsa.
And please ask Mr. Taylor to tell you all he can about the little house, said Nancy. Who used to live in it, and if they had any children, and where they are now, and everything.
Could you be a spy, do you think, asked Elsa, and pretend you have to find out everything that's going on around here?
In the city I could be a detective, said Ben, but I can't see that there'd be anything to find out in the country.
Well, try, said Elsa.
All right, said Ben.
What an interesting afternoon, said Elsa, as they drove away.